This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is SB Nation Radio Wake Up Call. Tony D, Ron Culver. Would love to hear from you on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We do our best to try to keep you updated on the sports world in terms of where it is and coming back and putting together plans to come back. So Sunday was a NASCAR race at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Congratulations, Kevin Harvick. They're going to run again Wednesday night at Martinsville, Virginia. PGA Tour. This is the week they get started. They're coming back from their shutdown in March at the Players' Championship. They're playing at the Colonial in Fort Worth. Huge, huge star-studded field that are going to be there. The top five players in the world, including Rory McIlroy, have entered. Phil Mickelson will be there. Jordan Spieth, Jason Day. No Tiger Woods, though. Tiger Woods is not going to be in that tournament. No fans in attendance at the Colonial. Now, despite the order in Texas that allows fans to be in attendance in some capacity, especially outdoor events, they have still decided not to go with fans in attendance. We watched these golf events, whether it was Ricky Fowler and Rory and Dustin and Matthew Wolf playing, or Tiger and Phil and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning with no crowd. And I always thought, this is weird. I wonder what it's going to look like in a tournament setting, when in a real tournament setting, when there is just the backdrop isn't going to be the same. The way the hole is shaped with the crowd is going to be different. It's no enthusiasm. I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to look weird, but that's okay. It's a whole new world. It's what we're coming to. And I'm glad the PGA Tour is coming back. But as we get further along, all right, as I said earlier in the show, with Texas saying, hey, if you have an arena, 50% of that arena can be filled, where we're going to see a lot of these states come up and say, you know what, same thing. Maybe it's 35%, maybe it's 40%, maybe it's 50%, maybe if it's in a little more. We're heading into that point now because football season, both college and pro, is right around the corner. And as we've been discussing almost since the shutdown started, how much of an impact crowds are going to have on the sporting events, especially in the college game. You're going to see more and more states following Texas's suit. Colonial, no fans, but now that'll change down the road for future PGA Tour events.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks for joining us. It is SB Nation Radio Wake Up Call. Again, glad you could be with us on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. You can also like us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you there at Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver. Some sad news over the weekend. Rishi Caldwell, former Florida Gator and San Diego Charger and New England Patriot, and briefly Washington Redskin, was shot and killed in Tampa. He died at the age of 41. He helped lead the Gators to an SEC championship in 2000, was drafted in the second round by the Chargers. He was there till about 2005, then went to the Patriots. Now, if that name sounds familiar to you and you're not familiar with the SEC or even Chargers when he was Charger football, you might remember him when he played for the Patriots back in 2006. He was the wide receiver that dropped two passes from Tom Brady in the AFC championship game against the Colts. One was right to him. I mean, right to him. It was a sideline pass. He was open. He just completely dropped it. It was like a first down play in Colts territory. Belichick was, you could see him frustrated. And then Caldwell's eyes, like, they were like saucers. I mean, they just got these huge eyes. It became kind of a meme. It became kind of like a video moment. People were commenting on it. But what was sad about it was, it plagued him forever. His brother, Bubba Caldwell, said it always he never got over it. He never got over dropping those passes in that game. And here's the thing. It wasn't like he dropped a potentially game-winning pass in the game. I mean, the Patriots scored a number of points in that game, had a 21-6 lead at halftime against the Colts, and the defense allowed Dallas Clark to have a fantastic game. But he was haunted by that for a long, long time, for pretty much his whole life. And it's kind of sad. It reminds you sometimes that no matter what you do, sometimes you are remembered for one thing and it never escapes. And that's kind of the good side of sports when it's for something good, and it's the bad side of sports when it's something bad. Like, you can have a mediocre career, do nothing. You know, you like your whole career, baseball, basketball, whatever. But the moment you're remembered for a game-winning shot or a home run, or you do catch a pass, or you do something infamous that leads your team to the playoffs, you know, Malcolm Butler we never may have heard from him again, but he'll always be remembered as one of the most important plays in Super Bowl history, right? But on the flip side of that comes the other side. And Richey Caldwell, he never was able to overcome dropping passes. Those two passes in the AFC Championship game. And it's really sad because he was a fantastic player at college. I remember him at Florida. He was a fantastic player. So he was shot and killed over the weekend and passed away at the age of 41. One other bit of news over the weekend as well was Conor McGregor once again announced his retirement. Once again, this is the third time.
He's becoming a musician.
Yeah, he is. Exactly.
Becoming a rock star. I mean, how many times have the Rolling Stones retired?
How many times have they done that? How many times? This is kind of...
Every time they announce a tour, this is their final tour. They're going to retire after this tour. Like, yeah, okay, I'll catch the next one.
2016, 2019, and now he's announced his retirement. Let's see. How long before he finds a way to come back into the sport? Let me think. When it suits him financially and ego. His ego and financing. Financially, that's when he'll come back. No one's buying this. It's like, I've noticed that there hasn't been any celebrating the career of Conor McGregor articles. There's been like points where they would just like deep in an article, they'll tell you like he had the belt in two weight classes in 1 year and they gave his record. He only has two UFC losses. And then he fought, you know, this person for this amount or whatever. But there hasn't been this like, oh, let's celebrate Conor McGregor. It's almost like, yeah, we've kind of gone down this road with this guy, and we'll see. We'll see how long it is. He's only 31 years old. So, I mean, how, you know, he's in great shape. He's 31. But, you know, in an age of coronavirus, I want to give the benefit of the doubt to any athlete that says, you know, I made my money and I don't really want to do this anymore. Yeah, the virus has me thinking other things. I want to give the benefit of the doubt, but in the end, I'm not gonna. I can't because I know the nature of sport. I know the nature of the fame and attention and what you can get out of it. And I just think it's hard to step away from. It's the one thing you hear about retired athletes all the time, is that even the ones that never really care about, you know, the fact that they can't go anywhere and everywhere they go, people mob them and whatever. There is a level of admiration that you sort of lose when you're in retirement. People will always go, oh, I remember when you played, it was great. But it isn't the same. It isn't the same. It goes back to what we had talked about, Ron, about, you know, how athletes are going to be without crowds, right? Without a home crowd. This NBA experiment is going to be interesting. Winning a title without anybody to celebrate it with, or winning a title where you're in another person's arena and you're celebrating amongst yourself, knowing that you've silenced the crowd, like whether it doesn't matter whether you're at home winning a championship or you're on the road and you're doing it, you know, ending the dream of a city. Without it, how are the players going to feel? Like, what will they go through when they hit a shot and no one's cheering, right? There is a level where you feed off of that, where you feed off the admiration, where you feed off even being the villain, right? When you do it on the road, that is gone in this age of coronavirus, right? I think when you see sports at its best, when you see the enthusiasm of the crowd, the level of lunacy that it can get in a stadium, how it shakes and gets, you know, that missing aspect. I think it's a drug for a lot of these guys, right? And they just, in the end, it's hard to stay away from. To me, I see Conor McGregor as a guy that would miss that just given his nature. But his nature could also be a show. His nature could also be, this is what I do, but on the there's another side of me that doesn't care about all that. I really don't care about all that. So we'll see how if Conor McGregor stays retired or not. I took it as, oh, he's done it again. Well done, Conor. Well done. All right? I mean, another one. I mean, this was a year ago. I mean, a year ago he announced his retirement. And he came back. So a lot of people are just saying, you know, they're reacting as you would. Hey, good luck. You know, if you don't want to do this anymore, it's great. You've had a great career. But deep down, how many people believe it? How many, like, zero, maybe two, right? Maybe 10. I doubt it. I think the answer is probably close to none. All right, on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up as well as we continue. But coming up, back to more of the NFL coming this season and what it could look like. Drew Brees' apology, and now his wife is speaking out. And in the end, will Colin Kaepernick be on a roster coming up? I don't think so, and I'll tell you why next on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, Tim Kawakama of The Athletic wrote an article today about Kaepernick and setting. He covered the 49ers in the day, and he said, look, there's some myths about this and some misconceptions about his 4 years and why people have pointed out saying, you know, look, why didn't he do this? Why didn't he do that? Why did the league do this? Why did the league do that? And here's his answers to some of these claims. Like, for example, if Kaepernick really wanted to play, why didn't he go to the XFL or the CFL? Well, the XFL made no movement to get him. Remember, that was the one question Oliver Luck didn't answer when we had him on the show. Remember, I said, hey, what about, you know, Colin Kaepernick? And he was like, I'd just rather talk about players that are on our team right now. Okay. All right. He avoided that question. He avoided that question in every interview. Like he said, that's just not something we want to dive into. I wonder if he'd answer it now. I know. With his fight against McMahon and the XFL, I wonder if he should come out and say, yeah, you know what? Actually, we discussed it, and we were told no. So, here's behind the curtains of that meeting.
I'm not really going to point any fingers, but the man above me said no.
Yeah, exactly. So why didn't Kaepernick go to the CFL or the XFL? Well, okay, listen. You want to be an NFL quarterback? Yeah. Do you want to just play? Well, A lot of players don't go to the minor leagues when they want to get a job, when they feel like they could play at a certain level, right? That's not a unique situation, right? Some players do. Some players realize, look, the only way I'm going to get back in is if I have to prove that I can continue to play. Like, I have to prove I can play at a certain level. So Johnny Manziel giving the CFL a try, for example, was because there was a belief that, you know what, he gave the NFL the good old college try, and it didn't work out. He doesn't have the skill set for it, and he was trying to prove otherwise.
Yeah.
Kaepernick was a Super Bowl participant and a playoff participant, had a bad, you know, didn't have a good year in 2016, but had enough of a resume to say, look, I can at least be a backup in this league.
Right. Easily.
Easily. So that's
or
why I
even
don't
bring
think
him
more.
Out in certain situations where maybe he's not throwing the ball, but, you know, maybe he runs it.
You're right. And listen, the other thing, too, is this. He knew what we all know, right? Which is, it wasn't about his ability to play. It was because of the protests and people and the headache that teams didn't want because they felt like they would have if he was on the roster.
Yeah.
So to him, he was like, I'm not going to go play for another team just to show that I can play. I know I can play. I'm trying to convince teams to to not overlook what I was doing, but to not make that the center point of me being employed. And he couldn't do that. He also said that people make the comment that he just wants to do it to be a social activist. It seems that's not necessarily the case from people who talk to his camp, who talk to him. Now, look, if you're in agreement with Kaepernick, Look, if you're a reporter and you're in line with Kaepernick's belief that he should be in the league, that you supported his kneeling 4 years ago, you're going to tend to sort of blur that line a little bit when his camp says, oh no, he wants to play. He works out every day. He wants a job. If you're on his side, you're going to go, yeah, I talked to him and he wants to play, you know? So that one is a little iffy, but I do believe it. I mean, I think he put together a pretty good camp. At least he went down that road of trying to say, look, I'm going to do this. And the NFL changed it on him. So he changed it on them. And I know it was not exactly a PR home run for him, but he put on, you know, he at least said, all right, I'll show up. I'll throw the football. We'll see.
It's just amazing that he was never even given a tryout.
Yeah, no, not even a look. And that's why I said, do I think he's going to get signed? I don't think he's going to get signed.
I don't think
he's going to get signed. Despite Roger Goodell's statement and the movement of saying, okay, look, we now understand why you did it. We now need to listen to why you did it. I still don't think he'll get signed.
Basically what he did is, you know, what Roger Goodell is also saying is like, we're not going to reprimand those who are going to kneel moving forward.
So here's why I don't think he's going to get signed. I don't think he's going to get signed because I think this league still has a level of pride, a little bit of an arrogant pride when it comes to him. It is one thing to say, you know what? If anybody on these rosters want to kneel, we hear you. And look at us. We've partnered with Jay-Z to hear you even more clearly on these issues and to do things with the issues. But I honestly think that there is a level of ego with these owners that are going to say, you know what? We fought a 4-year battle with him on dealing with our own, you know, season ticket holders complaining and all that. We are not going to capitulate that far. We are not going to kneel. We are not going to bring him in. We're not going to bring him in.
Not only that, but I mean,
I just don't think they will. I honestly think the level of ego is going to say, we'll do this, but we're not doing that.
The other issue that you run into, how it's hard for an employer to hire back an employee that sued them.
I know. That's right. That's true. That's another thing.
That is a big hurdle to overcome. I mean, that's all pride. That's ego. It doesn't matter what that person is capable or not capable of doing. It's just hard to get over that going, dude, you sued us. And you might have been right, but still, you sued us. I don't know if I can extend an invitation to you.
There has to be an owner in this league that is going to be willing to say, I don't care what this means in my relationship to the other owners. And remember, the relationship is the key. There are no rogue owners in the NFL that do it without the support. Jerry Jones gives you the impression that he's this rogue guy because he's got a separate merchandising deal than the rest of the league, or he signs a different soda company than the rest of the league. But in the end, owners do that so that one day they can do that, right? That's one of the reasons why Jerry can get away with stuff, because they see Jerry does it, I can do it too down the road at some point. That the rules, there are no real rules here, but Jerry does it his own way. So if my team ever gets to a position, I can do it my own way. That's one of the reasons they support him and makes him look like he's a rebel against kind of the economic system a little bit. But in the end, you have to be an owner that's willing to say, look, I'm willing to kind of muddy the waters of my relationship with these other owners by letting my football personnel bring this guy in and signing him. In the end, I can put the kibosh on this idea, but in the end, I have to be willing to do this at the ire of some owners that don't want us to bring in a guy that has been, you know, has been a problem for us for 4 years. And now, even if we're saying that we see the problem, why you were a problem, and we're kind of agreeing with why you did it in the first place publicly, I think privately, there is just no way I can see the league saying, any team saying, yep, come on in for a work. Because here's the deal. If you bring them in for a workout, how are you going to cut them? Right? Can you cut him?
Yeah, I mean,
is that worse?
It's one thing for the NFL to go, hey, you know, we were wrong about how we handled the situation, but it's a completely different thing going, hey, we were wrong how we handled Colin Kaepernick.
Right, right. They never mentioned him in that thing.
No, they didn't.
Goodell never mentioned him.
Nope.
They're not going to. He's not. So, again, you'll see players kneel and the NFL won't do anything. right? They won't. They're not going to make it a problem. They're not going to speak on it. They're not going to say, "Oh no, this we can't allow this." They'll listen to the outcry. They'll push the outcry to a side. But if you think they're going to allow a guy that started all of this, created a headache for them, made them uncomfortable, right? Affected some bottom line, that they're going to say, "You know what? We are so sorry that you're going to be employed again." I just don't think they're going to do it. I just don't think they're going to do it. We're talking about billionaires who don't like being told what to do. They don't like being forced to do anything.
Right.
And they're not going to be forced to do this. And so that's why I don't think he's going to. And you may agree with that. You may say, "Oh, that's terrible that they can do it." I'm just trying to bring you a reality. The mindset of these guys is so different than a lot of people. Because, again, they do live in a world where nobody tells them what to do.
I think the only way Colin Kaepernick finds a job is a new owner. And it's a new owner who hasn't had the talk to yet from other owners.
That's right, right, exactly.
If he was just to come right in and just buy a team and go, "Hey, here's my first purchase," boom. Before any other owner got to him. I think that's the only way that would happen.
But it's just hard.
It's not gonna happen.
It was so hard when they were saying this. There wasn't any collusion. Oh, of course there was. Come on. There's no doubt that there was with this story. There had to. I mean, to me, there had to have been. These old guys got together. I'm like, no chance. Don't even think about it. I mean, look, Pete Carroll, right? I mean, even Seattle, who's pretty open to these kind of things.
That would have been a great fit for him.
Right. Even the Seattle Seahawks were like, no, we're not doing that.
Or you can go Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
I mean, if you wanted, or Brian Flores, if you wanted to find an African American head coach.
Think about it.
Take a chance.
The Steelers needing a quarterback never called him.
Yep.
Right? I mean, they were so confident in Mason Rudolph and Hodges.
Yeah, they ran out with the duck.
With the duck. They never even called him. Right? My question is to his people, because every now and then they'll say, "Oh, we've got some interest." Like, "Oh, yeah, no, we got some teams interested." Who? Like, are you willing to say?
I mean, is that?
I know it would be against sort of protocol.
It was agent speak.
Yeah, that's agent speak, right? It's agent speak because here's why. Because one, you set in the public that there's interest, so that other teams are like, "Wait a minute, there is."
Ooh. Like, wait, I gotta get on board. I can't let this team. What if it's my rival?
Right, but if everybody's kind of keen on how this works, that probably nobody believed it, right? Like, we just said that's agent speak. I guarantee you that was the first thing every front office thought too,
yes.
Right? Like, you and I were like, "That's agent speak." I'm like, "Yep, it's agent speak."
Because
I know this league and no one's making those phone calls.
Yeah, they hear that. They probably immediately called Pete Carroll.
Right.
Pete, you interested in him? No?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're the only ones.
Yeah, right, right. I mean, how many teams have needed quarterbacks? And again, his name isn't even brought up.
Now, the Broncos could have used him at some point down, their
right.
2-4 stretch string of quarterback.
Yeah, completely. Do you think, if a team signed him, would it be celebrated, or would it be more like a, they're trying to, look at the NFL.
You mean if they were signed now?
Let's say
if they were signed now, it would have that feeling of like, "Oh yeah, well, it's because."
Yep, exactly. Like, you don't really want him. You were just kind of you just saw the way the wind was blowing. Yep. You just jumped on board, right? You saw these cities, they're filled with people. You're seeing the outrage, you're seeing the protests, you're seeing the wave, and you just wanted to catch the wave.
Yeah, and that's the problem now. Because now there's no winning in this situation now.
No, there isn't. And imagine the coach or the GM that has to go to, like, let's say you sign him, that has to go to the podium to try to convince the media that was a pure football move. Right?
Yeah.
Like, does this have anything to do with the protest? His talent, we need a guy with his ability. It won't ring true at all. It won't ring true at all. You had 4 years to figure. You had a guy in his late 20s. He's 31 now. He was in his late 20s in good health. He was coming off some surgeries, but he was relatively healthy. And nobody wanted to pick up the phone. And now you're going to tell me that if he gets signed, it's going to be a pure football move? No. The league, this is another reason why he's not going to get signed. Is I think the league is aware that a signing like that would just be seen as, look at the NFL. They just want to jump in, right? They want to jump in and show how woke they are on this issue. And it won't be true. It'll be very cynical. It'll be criticized.
It'll be hollow,
and they know it. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next. Again, hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We'll continue on SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue on Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio. All right, we had a weekend. I don't know what that weekend was like for you. I don't know what the weekend was like for Ron, but we at least maybe have some good. Let's get the good.
No, it was a good weekend. And yesterday, I celebrated a birthday of sorts.
All right.
It's the 35th birthday, or anniversary, if you will, of Goonies being released.
Goonies being released 35 years ago?
35 years ago. So, it's kind of a good, but a little tinge of bad because, man, I know you and I both remember seeing that as a kid.
Yeah,
and that's 35 years old.
Now this is the weird part of, as I find, getting older, is the numbers of things that were really important to me are now astronomical.
Yep.
Right? It was one thing when you would say, man, that was 10 years ago, man. Now I'm talking in the 30s. 30 years ago?
35.
That's insane.
And now, is this an untouchable movie? And what I mean by that is...
Don't remake it.
I mean, you can't.
No.
Even though, the special effects would be amazing and blah, blah, blah. There's a few of those movies out there that just seem to be untouchable. Like, don't ever touch it, please. Just leave it alone. Leave it as it is. Don't do anything. It's a classic. It stands on its own.
Have they done any, I know one of the Coreys isn't with us anymore, right?
Well, that's... Corey Feldman is still alive, who was in the movie.
Right. Corey Haim was in the movie?
Corey Haim was not in the movie.
Oh, he was not in the movie. Okay.
No.
I'm trying to... I get them confused. Yeah, which one...
All right, Corey Haim is dead.
Okay, Corey Haim is dead. All right.
Feldman is still much alive, and that was Mouth.
Have they ever done any of the, like where are they now? Like,
oh, yeah.
Do they do Comic-Cons or anything like that?
No. You know, during quarantine... I thought we talked
about this.
We did talk about this.
They got together on Zoom.
They did a Zoom meeting and all of them got together.
That's right.
I say all of them, the only person who was not in attendance is Mama Fratelli.
Why don't they do the Comic-Con circuit? Why didn't they do the Comic-Con circuit when that was a thing and we could go to it?
I don't know.
It seemed like
it was hard to get them together.
Maybe so.
For most of them, they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Our first crush, Carrie Green, I know she's just a mom.
That's right.
Bring her back out.
That's right.
Put that cheerleader outfit on her.
It's just like you brought up 35 years. We are now out of the window of Back to the Future, that's it. Like, we're out of the window. We're beyond even what Doc Brown thought was super future.
But beyond what he saw.
When he thought about how far in the future could I go? Oh, 2015. Now we're 5 years removed from that.
When he said that
forever.
Was a long way away when we first saw that in the theater.
Yeah.
So, 35 years old.
Unbelievable.
I mean, so it was kind of fun. I threw it on. My kids like it. And that's the heart of it. It's just, the kids look at it and go, man, this is such a great adventure movie.
I know.
And
so good.
Every single time. I've always wanted to do that water slide.
I know. I haven't seen it in a long time. I might have to. Is that on Netflix or anything like that? Where can I get it? I don't want to rent it.
I'm trying to figure out where I watched it. I can't remember. It was one of the streaming services.
You know what movie I was watching this weekend on Disney Plus was Tron. The first Tron.
The original.
Yeah, the original Tron. Wow, is that amazing.
That's ahead of its time.
Way ahead of its time. Like, I'm watching that going, this was like 81.
Yeah.
Remember he had his big thing. This is how old it was. Like, this is how 80s it was. He was trying to break into a company because he invented video arcade games that were making money at arcades. And he wanted to prove that he invented those games that were making millions at arcade stores around the country, whatever they were called, or arcade places around the country. That was the whole reason he got put into the computer and had to fight his way out of there. And the only reason he broke in and then eventually got put into the computer by the master control program was that he invented space paranoids and wanted to prove that he did. And I was watching that like, this is incredible. This is fantastic.
What's funny to think about is you watched that movie, knows what was that, early 80s, late 70s?
Yeah, 81.
81. So, I mean, yeah, early 80s, and the technology they used was incredible.
Incredible.
It was amazing.
Incredible.
We were watching Mummy Returns.
Oh,
The Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser one,
The sequel that starred The Rock, who came out as a Scorpion King, and he actually came out as a scorpion. And I'm watching it with my 9-year-old, and I said, hey, you know, I was like, I want you to name this actor, because it was The Rock's big movie role. His first big movie role.
Right.
And he comes out, he goes, well, I thought it was going to be The Rock, and I was right. He says, but The Rock looks really cartoonish.
That's right, he does look cartoonish.
And it's just amazing, because now, if that movie was made now, there's no way he looks that way.
Oh,
he's able
amazing.
To talk, but it just, I don't know, it just, what Tron was, and we only got to cartoonish Rock, that was like 2000-something, 2001, 2002. We got cartoonish Rock then, and then, you know, within a short amount of time, we would have realistic looking Rock as a scorpion.
That's exactly right.
Boggles my mind. But yeah, Tron, it's amazing.
Fantastic.
And the cool thing is that, during that Zoom meeting where all the Goonies got together, there was a moment where Richard Donner and Steven Spielberg were talking about a sequel or a remake, and both of them said, well, we tried for many, many years, but it doesn't look like it's ever going to happen now.
Oh, okay.
So I hope that stays that way.
Yeah, me too. All right, what's the bad of the day?
Now I'm bringing up more of our childhood.
Oh boy, here we go. This
Looney
is like a
Tunes. Looney Tunes are back.
Yeah, I saw this. Yeah,
on HBO Max, they're streaming all of them. The bad thing is that there's one glaring omission.
One glaring omission.
I don't know how I should feel about this. If you don't know, it's guns. So Elmer Fudd and Yosemite Sam will not be wielding guns like they always did. I don't know. I don't know.
But why? Elmer Fudd, I get Yosemite Sam would just shoot him up in the air, and he's a Wild West kind of guy.
Right.
But Elmer Fudd was a hunter.
One of the greatest Looney Tunes episodes ever is rabbit season, duck season, going like when those two go back and forth.
Right.
And Elmer Fudd just sitting there with the shotgun, and they just keep moving the shotgun back and forth, and then Bugs Bunny always seems to trick Daffy. How are you gonna do that now? Is he gonna come around with a slingshot?
Elmer Fudd wasn't shooting up like a mall or something. He was just out hunting for rabbit or duck, whatever it was season. He was hunting like everybody hunted. Like, what is...
I mean, and the thing that bothers
me... But isn't that something we all... Like, isn't that something even like the gun... What do you call it? Oh, gosh. There's the gun rights advocates, and then there's the gun control advocates, right? But doesn't the gun control advocates say, hunting, you can have a gun for hunting. We just don't think you need this or this. But hunting,
I
sure.
I look at it this way. My kids, they'll watch Looney Tunes. But if you don't have guns on Looney Tunes, then they'll stop. You know, they'll watch the episode, then they go right back to Fortnite.
Right, exactly.
And there it's guns. Like my son, my oldest now is really into Call of Duty, and he comes downstairs and he's talking about this scope and that scope and this type of gun, and I'm just like, yeah. Great. I mean,
did they do polling on this? I mean, who in America is saying this had to happen? This is what I mean. Sometimes we get I think these companies they read America based on a small group of people, and they think that's the way it is for everybody.
Right? They're probably basing this on a bunch of Karens.
Right, sure. And they go,
feel
can't.
Bad for Karens out there, by the way.
I know. Especially if your name is Karen. I feel so bad.
Sorry about you.
How you got that, I have no idea, and I hate that. But you're right. What made them go, this is a lot of effort, this is a lot of work, And we're going to put that time and effort into it because we're responding to this. Whatever this is, what is it? Was there an outcry for this? Was there a, like, to me, again, a hunter with a gun, and then they make jokes about that, doesn't seem to be a problem.
Are you and I more violent because we grew up watching those cartoons?
I know. Like,
am I willing to go out there? Do I really believe that the cartoon I was watching was real? That I could, you know, Acme had everything?
Did I believe that if I ran over a cliff, I would just hover there until I realized I was hovering, you know, had nothing below me, and then I had enough time to create a sign that I could hold up, and then I would fall?
Right.
Because I never believed that once. Could as I a just, child.
Could I just throw a black dot on a wall and go through it?
And go through it? Yeah, exactly.
But sometimes other cartoons couldn't?
Did I believe that there was dynamite everywhere, anywhere I wanted at any given time? No, I did not.
I saw that. I just like, what? It doesn't make any sense to take away the guns. I mean, we grew up watching them. I understand when you took away cigarettes from Flintstones, okay? I understood that. You know,
not only are they smoking, they were telling you how awesome it was.
Yeah, we needed those cavemen to live to bring us about.
Right.
But taking away the guns, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, goodness gracious. I mean, that's hilarious.
You know, it's bad, but that kind of spilled into the dumb. But the dumb of the day, Dabo Sweeney wore a Football Matters t-shirt over the weekend.
Yeah, what's this about? I saw this, and I don't really know. Is there a backstory to this?
I don't really know what the backstory is.
I gotta look this up.
Just the fact that he was wearing a Football Matters t-shirt now.
People are saying that this is like a thing, like it's got a sponsor, it's a thing, and I agree with you. If it's old, it's not old, but it's within the last couple of years. Yeah, wearing it today seems very, I don't know. It's not a good look. Not a good look. That is dumb. Because you know what it is? If you have to have people vouching for your character, you probably should rethought the decision.
Right.
Where people have to remind people that you're a good dude.
And not only that, but I mean, his character has already been called into question. Clemson University has been called into Clemson. Clemson football.
Because there was an assistant coach that was accused of using a racial slur.
You already have that. This is just a bad PR move. I mean, obviously, nobody was with him to say, hey, you should probably rethink that t-shirt. But, just in this age, that shirt probably, 4 months ago, wouldn't have thought anything of it. Wouldn't even care. You know, 5 months from now, may not even care. But right now, there's a lot of tension, and there's really only one thing that matters right now in America,
yeah,
and it's not football.
Yeah, it's not a good – like, Trevor Lawrence came out to support his coach. Like, when people are like, yeah, no, he's – it just makes you go, why do I don't need this headache. Right now – see, here's the thing. This is the thing that bothers me about social media. There are good things about social media, but then there's a lot of garbage. The problem with social media is, and I heard this was best expressed, it doesn't give you a chance to breathe for like 2 seconds, right? The problem is your narrative gets written so quickly and you have to cover it, especially if you're a public figure, you have to cover it and you have to spend time covering it. And sometimes that audience isn't listening. All it takes is one person to take that picture, tweet it out with a comment, his followers comment on it, then they spread it to their followers, and then they spread it to their followers, and then you're speaking to an audience that is completely different and not reaching the same people, so you can't express yourself or explain yourself properly, and by then nobody cares because they like that they've complained about you or criticized you or put you in a camp, and they don't want to lose that feeling, so now you're swimming in a pond that you can't escape. You're in the middle of it going, how do I get out of this?
The perfect example of that recently was Drew Brees.
Right, Drew Brees, right.
Drew Brees wasn't saying anything that he felt was racist.
Right.
And wasn't trying to denounce anything. He was just talking from his own personal feelings. But all of a sudden, overnight, fans of his in New Orleans, fans of the Saints, were burning his jersey.
Exactly. You go from Saint, no pun intended, to villain like that. And a lot of it has to do with the how quickly social media can take anything you say or do and twist it to whatever narrative that people want. And then again, people love to hold on to that. And so they don't release it. And next thing you know, you've been stained and you can't get out of it. And so for Dabo to wear a shirt and then have it spin out of control like that, it's like, it's just not worth wearing the shirt,
right?
It's just better not wear the shirt than wear the shirt and then watch it spiral out of control. Especially to a guy that has to have, make sure his image isn't tainted in, if he wants to be a successful recruiter or a successful spokesperson for issues like this. When Dabo speaks out against this or appears at a protest, you don't want this to follow you. Where people are like, yeah, but you wore a Football Matters shirt during the middle of when we were talking about Black Lives Matter. What are you doing here at the protest? Like, if you're Dabo and you want to speak from the heart something that concerns you, this is a bad look. It's a bad look.
Just a bad fashion choice.
Exactly. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. With this upcoming, I'm looking forward to this PGA Tour event at Colonial at Fort Worth. But I really wish Tiger was there. I would never tell a golfer to play a schedule. I would never tell a golfer to, you know, do whatever you want to do. It's your schedule. It's a lot. But wouldn't it have been good? Wouldn't it have been great if this whole, like, if Tiger was just, if everybody was, everybody who had any sort of level of importance was there?
Is he just saving himself for the majors now?
Yeah, I know. What are you doing?
Come on, man. There's not. You've had
50.
Time off.
He's 50. Phil is 50, and he's showing up to this thing. Come on, man.
Come on, 50 is not that old.
I know.
50 is fine.
50 is the new 29.
Exactly.
So
I'm going to tell myself.
Phil's showing up. I mean, they're all showing up. Like, Tiger, come on, be part of, like, just to see everybody there, right? Anybody that's on the top 10 of the world rankings or whatever.
We need you, Tiger.
Just everybody show up. Be like, we're back. We may not be back in front of fans, but we've come back.
Or is he done for the year because he's already won an event?
Right.
He's out.
He's done. He's like, yeah, see you at the Masters. Bye. Love you, Tiger. Love you. But I just wish you were at Colonial this week. It is Wake Up Call. Jake Asman Show coming up next on SB Nation Radio.